Thank you, everyone, for sharing life in a quick moment like that. I do want to say this. I want to welcome back our missionaries, some of our missionaries from Papua New Guinea, Mary and Jason Klotz. Welcome home. All right. They are back for a little stint here, so we're glad to have them back. Welcome. Good to have you here. All right, kids, the special Bible word for the day, are you ready? The special Bible word for the day is the word love. Love. But you're going, that was a special Bible word last time. Exactly. There's a reason for that. All right, so last time we were together, actually, I think it was a record for how many times the special Bible word was said or heard. I think it was like 150 times. All right, so I don't know, it was close. It was way up there. But the special Bible word today is, again, the word love. So kids, every time you hear the word love or see the word love, keep a tally, and at the end of the gathering, you can come up to me, tell me how many times you heard the special Bible word love or saw it, and you get a prize from the prize box. Or if you'd rather draw a picture of something that you heard today, you could do that as well and show us the picture at the end of the gathering and also get a prize from the prize box. And so for those of you that maybe weren't with us a couple weeks ago, we're starting kind of a short little mini-series, if you will, on the subject of love. And we talked about how everyone is looking for love. And the good news is that God wants us to know what love is. And so today is kind of part two. There will be a part three. So we'll take a break from the study in a couple weeks, but we'll kind of wrap up the study on love in the first part of August. But today's kind of part two on this subject of what is love. And I shared last time with you that while I was exercising in our neighborhood, I saw this sign that said, you know, love is love. And I saw that and I got thinking about that. I'm like, you know, that sounds good, but what does that really mean? What does that mean? And what if my meaning of love is different from someone else's meaning of love? And I kind of gave this hypothetical situation, like, what if I felt like my wife, Andrea, of 32 years, was not loving me the way that I thought, and she was holding me back, and so I thought what would be the most loving thing for me to do would be to leave my wife, Andrea, and go find someone else that I felt would love me more. And I did this because I felt like that's the best way to love myself. And I asked you guys, I said, what would you think of me if I did that? And some of you stuck your tongue out at me. You know, all these different things. You guys were all mad at me. And I'm like, this is a habit, just hypothetical, right? But if you feel that way, like, but if love is love, then why should you be mad at me, right? If love is just, if I think that I'm loving myself doing that, then should you really be angry? And that's why it's really important that we have the right meaning of love, the right definition of love. Because what we might think is love, what might feel like love, actually may not even be loving at all. It actually might be something that actually leaves you in chains of shame or guilt or someone else. And so we really need to understand what love is, what love isn't, and what love means. And to do that, we need to find out the source of love. And so we spent time last time together really finding out what is the source of love. Where does love come from? Because we want to make sure that we're not buying into a lie of something that maybe is a counterfeit love. That really maybe we think is going to send us or make us free, but actually just keeps us in chains. So we need to make sure we have the right, true, accurate meaning of love. And to find that out, we need to know where love comes from. And Jacob read so well for us this morning, that passage in 1 John 4 tells us where love comes from. Love comes from God, right? Love comes from God. And then he goes on in that letter, 1 John, the Apostle John says, not only does love come from God, but God is love, and he unpacks that for us. And so from that, we kind of gathered a truth about love. So if love comes from God and God is love, this is kind of the bedrock here, the foundation. So if anything is to be loving, if any feeling, if any definition, if any expression or action is to truly be loving, it needs to agree with both what God says in his word, right? His commands, and who God is. And so that's kind of this foundational understanding and where we start when it comes to, is this loving or not? Is this loving or not? If it's loving, then we need to say, is it agreeing with what God has commanded and said in his word? Because love comes from God, so he would know. And it needs to be in agreement with God's character, who God is. And that's kind of where we left it last time. But then this morning, we want to talk about what does that love look like? What does this kind of love that comes from God look like in the everyday? And to answer that question, we want to go to another letter in the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you'll join me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is a letter written from the Apostle Paul to a group or community of Christians living in the first century in the city of Corinth, Greece. And this is a church that one writer said, I love his word, he said, it was a complicated kind of community of Christians, right? There were disagreements. They were kind of hyper-focused on some things, and they were kind of living in sin and approving sin and all this stuff and affirming things that God says in his word you shouldn't. And so Paul writes this letter to kind of address a lot of these things. And then he's just talked about focusing on spiritual gifts and how everyone has a spiritual gift for the benefit of encouraging other Christians. And then they were getting kind of hyper-focused on that. He's like, but hey, wait, there's something that's even better. There's something that's really even more important, if you will. And this is what he says. And in this description of kind of writing to this group of Christians, he gives this description, if you will, of what love is and love isn't. And it's really important for us to understand this, so that you have an accurate understanding of what the true meaning of love is, and also so that we as God's people, as the people of Jesus, are accurately representing Jesus, and that we're not communicating something that really isn't loving at all. We want to make sure we're not confusing people more about love. We want to make sure that the love we're talking about and we're sharing with people is a love that actually frees people. Because Jesus said, what did he say? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. He said, if you abide in my words, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's work that back. If someone wants freedom, they need to know the truth. And to know the truth, you need to be abiding in the words and the commands of Jesus, the word of God. And so put those together, freedom comes from living in agreement with what Jesus says about love and what Jesus has said is true and what isn't true. We understand this is that we're on the page, okay, same page here. And I just want to say this too. There might be some things that we talk about where you're going to feel like stiff-arming them. You're going to feel like it. Okay, so I just want to invite you to kind of, you know, turn your hand from this to this. And just say, okay, God, I'm willing to receive this. I may not feel like it, but I'm willing to receive that maybe this is something that I need to have an open hand to. Okay, so just want to invite you into that. Because there might be some things as we think about God's description, definition of love that might not feel loving to us. But yet we're not the definition or definers of love. Jesus is. And true freedom comes from living in agreement with his words, because if you abide in his words, you will know the truth, and his truth will set us free. So it's really important. And let me say, on a practical standpoint, this description that God gives us in this book of 1 Corinthians for love is really helpful. It's kind of this criteria, like, for should I post this or not post this? Should I share this or not share this? Kind of take it through this list. Is this something that's loving or isn't loving? And just kind of work your way through this description. I found this really helpful. And so what does this love that comes from God look like? Verses 1 through 3, he writes, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses here when he talks about love is this word agape. Now, for those that may be new to the Bible, the New Testament was not written in English. All right, this what we have is an English translation of the Greek New Testament. So the New Testament was written originally in the language of Greek. And so the Greek word that Paul, the Apostle Paul, uses here for love is the word agape. That's really important to help us understand. It's the same word that the Apostle John used in 1 John 4, the love that comes from God. So what Paul, or what God hears, this is what agape love, this is what the love that comes from God looks like. This is what it is, this is what it isn't. This is the love that frees, that removes the chains of shame and guilt. And so we need to understand that. And he talks about this agape love. And it's crazy. Like these first three verses, he's like, man, if he's saying, if you had the ability to like speak a language, like a heavenly language, like a language that the angels speak, he'd be like, that's great. But there's something even better. And like if you had the ability to predict and all these different things and understand all these different things of meanings and knowledge and all this, that'd be good too, but there's something better. Even if you had faith that could do the impossible, that'd be crazy amazing, but there's something better. And even if you gave up your life for the cause of Christ, you became a martyr. That's amazing. That's incredible. But you could do all that, and if you don't have this love, it means nothing. There's something better. There is a love that goes beyond all these things that's so good, that's so better, to the point to where this is actually a supernatural love. The first thing about this love is we need to understand it's supernatural because it is a love that comes from God. God is supernatural. So this love that we're talking about is a supernatural kind of love. And specifically, it's a love that sacrifices itself without expecting anything in return. So this is not a love that's determined by how you feel towards someone or how that person feels toward you. This is not a love that that you're expecting them, like you're keeping score and like, well, I'll do this if they do that. That's not the kind of love. This is a decision where you are deciding to love this person regardless of whether they love you back or not. That's this agape kind of love that we're talking about. It's a supernatural love. It's the love where Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor, but Jesus said, love your enemies. Are you kidding me? Come on. Like, there's nothing natural in me that will want to love my enemies. There's nothing natural in me that will want me to love those that have hurt me or hurt those I love. Nothing natural in me at all. That's why this love is supernatural. I can't do this kind of loving on my own. It has to be a love that comes from God. And it has to be a love that the Spirit of God produces, which the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians is what's the first one in the list? Love, this agape love, this kind of love, this supernatural self-sacrificing love that loves someone regardless of if they respond or not, that can only come from the Spirit. And if you belong to Jesus, then you have the Spirit of God, the God who is love living in you, who's then the one who empowers you to love this way. It's not you doing it. It's supernatural God doing this through you, through the work of His Spirit that's living in you. Are you tracking with that? Because there's nothing natural in me that wants to love this way. I can't. But when I understand that I have the Spirit of God in me, okay, that's when I lean into the Spirit. And I say, help me. Because there's nothing in me that wants to love that person that just hurt me right now. So help me love them. Help me. And it's beautiful. I love how Paul started that. It's a supernatural love. So the love that truly sets people free is a love that's supernatural, a love that comes from God, a love that's produced by the Spirit of God being inside a person. And that's good news if you belong to Jesus. But then what does this look like in the everyday? Well, he goes on in verse 4, he says, love is patient. Now, patience here, when he's talking about it, means prolonged. Okay, I'm going to read this, and then I want you to evaluate, is this me? This is convicting. Well, at least it was for me. Patience means prolonged restraint from reacting with emotion. Tough. Prolonged restraint from reacting with emotion. Does that describe you in the home? Does that describe you with your spouse? Does it describe you with your kids? Does it describe you at work? Does this describe you with your socials? Something sets you off and boom, you're away reacting and all. I mean, love is patient. What's another fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. That's what this is. This is something that the Spirit produces in us. Because everything in me wants to be quick to react. Everything. Right? This is why I have to trust God and say, God, help me in this. Give me patience. A love that's from God is a love that's patient. It's a love that waits a long time before you react or saying something. It doesn't lose control. It'll respond, but when emotions have calmed down. I remember, and I've told this story before, but when our son Luke was little, he was like, I don't know, 9 or 10. He got, crazy angry. And his bedroom is on the second floor of our house. And he got so mad. I don't remember what it was. He doesn't either, I don't think. He got so mad, he lifts the window up in his room and starts chucking everything out the window. I mean, like stuffed animals, books. I'm telling you, like it was crazy. He was so mad. And I can, you know, I can only imagine what the neighbors across, they're seeing like Fluffy go flying, you know, whatever stuffed animal, books, cars, whatever he could get his hands on. He's throwing, I mean, he was mad. That meant I was mad. All right, because I'm home. Everything, I'm telling you, everything natural in me wanted to walk into that room and do things I know I would have regretted. I'm just telling you, everything natural in me. I was so mad. But there was something in that moment that said, rather go into Luke's room, go into your room. And I went into my room, our bedroom, and I got on my knees at my bedside, and I just prayed. And who did I pray for? Me. I prayed for me because I was so irate. And I just prayed until the Spirit of God calmed me down. I'm telling you, how do I explain that? I can't. That had to be the Spirit of God doing that in me. Had to. Love is patient. Now, did I eventually respond? Oh, yeah, I did. But after the Spirit of God had calmed me down, I prolonged restraint before reacting with emotion. That's the love of God, right? A love of God is patient. Does that describe you? Does it describe us, church, where we're not so quick to react with emotion? Where let's just talk to the Lord. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me be patient. And he goes on and he says, not only is love patient, it's kind. And this is just simple, really. It's useful. It's helpful. It's thoughtful. It's considerate of others. But this is more than just kind words and like you're reposting something that's really cool and kind. This is actually kindness with action. We're actually like saying, like, you're not just hearing of a need, you're actually doing something about it. Where it's like, man, you know, there's a family in our house church that really needs help, and we pray for them, but man, this is kindness in action. You're actually going to take them a meal or something, or needs someone that needs encouragement, all right? Or you're just like, you know, it's just kindness. You're taking out the trash, not because she's asked you 5 billion times, but you see it needs to be done, and so you do it, all right? Or you're just kind toward your brother or sister or that coworker that's just super annoying, right? Who won't be quiet. And nothing in you naturally wants to be kind to them, but then you just ask the Spirit of God to help you. You're like, okay. And then all of a sudden you find yourself praying for them, and then you're treating them with kindness. That's love from God. It's a love that's kind. It's a love that when your roommate's sick and your parents are hundreds of miles away, or your college friends and your parents are 100 miles away and you're sick and you don't feel like going anywhere, they go and get you a meal from the cafeteria, all right? And that happened this past year with our daughter, Aislinn. She got sick at Pensacola Christian College, and we're hundreds of miles away, and she's telling us on the phone, and my dad heart's like, everything I want to do is just go pick you up and bring you home and make you well, right? But I can't. But she had friends there on campus that sacrificed their time, their energy, and go to the cafeteria and go get her food and bring it to her and help her get well. That's kind. That's love is kind. It's sacrificing something that maybe you don't want to do, maybe you don't feel like doing, but you know it's the right thing to do, and only the Spirit of God puts that on your heart. And I think there's a lot of times the Spirit of God puts stuff on my heart to do, and I just kind of like, it comes in, like, let it go. I think there's a lot of things that sometimes the Spirit of God puts in our hearts to do, and we need to be obedient to that. Why? Because love is kind. It's helpful. It's thoughtful. It's an active kindness. But then he goes on, it's patient, it's kind, it does not envy, or meaning it isn't jealous. Are you a jealous kind of person? It means it doesn't hold a grudge or do things out of resentment to get your way. It doesn't want evil for someone. I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of your heart right now. I mean, have you ever felt that, like, where you want evil for someone? This is a, you know, love that isn't jealous. It's not complaining about how bad you have it, right? It's just not. It's a love where you're like, man, you're always looking at the other person or the other people. They're prettier, smarter. They've got the, you know, he's got the girl, she's got the guy, whatever, and they're making all that, whatever. Jealous, envy. Listen, jealousy, be very careful. Because jealousy, remember Joseph, coat of many colors, Old Testament? Jealousy is what led his brothers to sell him into human trafficking. Jealousy. Jealousy is what led Cain to kill his own brother. Jealousy, envy is what led the Roman spiritual leaders of the day, or the Jewish spiritual leaders of the day, put Jesus on the cross. Jealousy is dangerous. The Bible talks about rooting out any kind of bitterness. Be very, very careful. All right? And so if you think of it in this way, if love isn't jealous, then I think love is content. It's content. It's filled with gratitude, right? And being grateful for who God is, what he's done, and who he's brought into your life. It's a grateful kind of love. It's a content kind of love. The Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And I get it. Like, there's nothing in me. There are times I struggle with this too. I'm like, man, why can't we just get rid of this bill or whatever? It's like, you know, and yeah, you have to think through those things, but this, the enemy wants to give you a spirit of discontentment. But a love from God isn't jealous. A love from God understands that I can trust the Lord with my future and with my present circumstances. And so does this describe you? Does this describe us, church? Are you considered a content person? Walking around the house, you know, like, thank you, Lord. Or are you like, man, you know, you're just walking around so angry all the time because nothing's going right or nothing's going your way. And, I mean, you're just like Eeyore. You know, I mean, is that you, like, from Winnie the Pooh? I know that's dating me quite a bit, but, like, go look it up, Eeyore online, find out what he's about, you know, whatever. So are you that kind of person, like, man, or just everything's horrible? No, love from God isn't jealous. It's not comparing itself to others or other circumstances. It just says, I'm content, God, because I trust you. I believe you. Then this next one. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast. Some translations literally describe this, love does not parade itself, which means it's not prideful. It doesn't brag, doesn't always talk about itself or draw attention to oneself or what you have or don't have, which means this kind of love doesn't have to promote itself by sharing all of our accomplishments or all these pictures, look at me, affirm me, agree with me. And on the flip side of that, it's this kind of love doesn't, you know, boast about this false spirituality either. I read my Bible 370 days this past year. Dude, there's not 370 days. I know, but I still read it like 370. Like, no. I mean, that's all right. No, I mean, it doesn't brag. It doesn't bring attention to itself. And let me just say, this is where we kind of have to, like, go from here to here. It also doesn't parade itself or pride itself or draw attention to its own sexual choices either. Not a love from God. And I'm just saying this stuff can be difficult, but this is what it means. And this is what God is saying. And we have to be willing to say, okay, that might be hard to hear, but like we want a love that frees people, that doesn't truly leave them in chains of shame or guilt. And that's what he's saying. And so if this kind of love doesn't boast, if it's not pride, then it's a humble love. And sometimes this humble love is willing to admit, maybe I've been believing something about love that actually is in disagreement with what God has said and who God is. And I need to confess that to the Lord and ask the Lord to help me believe what is true and not something that is false. It makes me think of the story that Jesus told, the story of the prodigal son. Maybe you're familiar with that. Father had two boys, and the younger boy comes and says, Dad, I want all my inheritance, and I want it now. I want my allowance, and then some, and I want it now, please. And so the son gets it. Father gives it to him. The son goes and squanders his wealth, and after a while, he has nothing, and he finds himself eating with pigs, realizes he's starving, and so he humbly goes back to his father and says, please receive me back, and the father with open arms says, welcome home. But pride led him to want it all and get it all and all this stuff. But then the younger son gets home, and what's the older son do? I was a good son, Dad. I did all the right stuff. Where's my party? Where's my parade? Where's my celebration? Right? Both are pride. Both are pride. Both are sin. Both are in disagreement. Both are not love. But we really have to answer or ask ourselves the question. So if love is not boasting, all right, if it's not boasting, then it's a humble love. It doesn't brag or promote itself. And let me just ask this question. If love is not proud, and love does not parade itself, then we need to use this in the filter of like Pride Month, parading, pictures that say, look at me, affirm me, agree with me, fit into what God's. I'm just saying, like, in our culture, this is what we have to really ask ourselves and think about these things, okay? And I'm not saying this is easy. This is difficult. But we really have to think through this, because a love that frees, a love that's from God, a love that is truth, comes from what Jesus says in his word, not what you or I feel or think, not what we're being taught, not what we're being told in culture, but from God and his word. Yes, we can love and still at the same time disagree. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But we need to understand that Jesus shows us exactly how to do this. But we need to understand that if love doesn't boast, then we need to really think through these things about what a love that's from God really is. But also, this isn't love that doesn't go around putting people down to lift yourself up either. All right? And just putting and bragging about all the things we're against and all this stuff. No, that's not loving either. We need to love in a way where we're not boasting about ourselves. And listen, I can tell you, if I'm honest and vulnerable with you, I struggle with pride all the time. Every time I stand up here, I want you to like me, affirm me, approve me, walk away going, that's the best message I've ever heard in my entire life. I want that. Please don't tell me that, because I know it's not true. But I want it to be true. I want you to like me. I want you to affirm me. I don't want anybody to hate me. I don't want you at all. I don't want that. Every time I'm like, God, please help me. And this is what I pray almost every Sunday. Empty me of me, fill me with you. Because I know my heart. I want you to approve me. I want you to affirm me. I want you to agree with me. I want you to love everything that we're saying. I want to, you know, like, oh, bring it, Pastor. Come on. You know, no, I mean, that's what I want. I want that. I want amens, although we don't do that. But I'm like, all this. I want it. My selfish, natural heart wants this. And I have to ask God to do something supernatural in me. I want to love without wanting attention. I want attention. I can't do this on my own because I know my heart. My heart is filled with pride. And so I have to ask the Spirit of God, please do what I'm incapable of doing myself. Empty me of me. Because love does not boast. It's not prideful. And then he goes on. It's not arrogant or rude. It's not cocky. You cocky when you play sports, family game table, bring it. You know, and then you get arrogant and angry and all this stuff. Like, seriously? It's the game sorry, for crying out loud. Why don't you just say sorry, you know? Come on. You know, really? You're playing with your 3-year-old granddaughter and you're like talking like, what, are you kidding me? Come on. It's not arrogant. Come on. I mean, I couldn't stand. Like, it's so funny. Like, okay, this is off script completely. So, when I play sports, I'd be like, and I was horrible. We're talking like rec sports, right? Like, and maybe like I was 15th on the man, 15 man on a 15 man junior high basketball team. I was 15. Okay, I was bad. But man, I'd see this cocky kid out there and be like, Coach, put me in. I'll guard him. I was doing the same thing he was doing. Right? Like the kid on the court's like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, Coach, yeah, put me in. I'm like, what? Come on. I'm the same cat. Like cocky. It's this big head. You don't have to inflate your own importance, because you know your identity with Christ. You are beloved. You are so loved by the King of Kings. I don't need the praise of men. The book of Proverbs says, let another praise you. I don't have to, and then sometimes we do it in false humility. Yeah, I'm no good. Oh, you're great. Thank you. You know, whatever. I mean, we do it that way, too. Like, it's the other side of it going, look at me, look at me. Oh, I'm horrible. I'm worthless. No, you're not. We love you. Oh, you know, whatever. We do it all the time. It's not arrogant, prideful. You lift the team. You don't have to do those things to affirm yourself. That's why God's love is so good. It's so much better. All right. It's not rude. All right. It's polite, good manners. You're not saying things to embarrass other people. It's not always pushing to be first. Is this you? Does this describe you at work, your school, at home, your social media? Then he goes on, and this is another one I kind of want to drill on for a moment. He says it's a love that doesn't insist on its own way, which means it's unselfish. It's just an unselfish love. It doesn't whine or complain when you don't get your way. And you don't make the people around you feel guilty because they didn't give you what your way. All right? It doesn't complain when your boss disagrees with you or he doesn't accept your idea or opinion. He doesn't complain or get all bent out of shape when your candidate doesn't get elected. All right? Just doesn't. Not a love from God. Doesn't insist on its own way. And we're not talking about Bible truth here. We're talking about our own opinion and our own ideas. That's what we're talking about here. It doesn't go around canceling all these friends and family because they disagree with your opinion or your way. Just, no, don't insist on your own way. That's not a love from God. But this is, I think we see a lot of this in our culture today, and I just want to drill on this a little bit. I was kind of scrolling and preparing for this message and the others, and I came across this, and I felt, man, if this isn't where we kind of are today in our culture. Someone had shared this on their social media on Instagram, and they said, if I remove myself from your life over politics, it is not because we disagree. It's because your values and beliefs are a threat to the existence of people I love. Look at that again. If I remove myself from your life, basically, if I cancel you, it is not because we disagree. Really? Because it kind of seems like it the more I read into this. It's because your values and beliefs are a threat to the existence of people I love. Now, I get this. I think this sounds nice, kind of. Maybe. I kind of think where I know where they're coming from, but what they're saying is that if I don't agree with their politics, then they're going to walk away from me. Right? Because they see what I believe about politics as a threat to the people they love. So they would say that they're being loving by walking away from me, but aren't you being unloving by walking away from me? How are they defining love in this? Agreement. They're defining love by agreement. You disagree with me, therefore I'm walking away from you because your disagreement about my opinion, about what I believe, I just can't deal with that. And so now they're seeing me as a threat simply because I disagree with them. And this is all over the place, church. All over the place. And this is not love. This is a false love. It's a counterfeit love. It's kind of got love, or so it thinks, like wrapped in it, but really it's not. Because it's not a love that frees. It's a love that's insisting you agree with my way. You tracking? That makes sense? I'm not saying this is, but this is what we see. And I feel as a shepherd, we need to talk about it. Because love is being defined by agreement. But someone might say, but aren't we as Christians insisting people agree with our own way? No. No. We're insisting people agree with Jesus. His way and his word. Why? Because his word is truth, and it's his truth that truly sets people free. And that's what we want. So we're insisting people agree with him and his way and his word because that's what really frees people. I'm not saying this is easy. But if we really want a love that frees, we've got to want people to experience and receive the love that truly frees them. And that's a love that can only come from God. And so we're insisting people agree with Jesus because his way, his word, it's his truth that really frees. It's what he says and living in agreement with his commands that's truly freedom for all people who believe in Christ. And that's what's loving. And that's the better love. And I'm telling you, some of us have families where this is difficult. I'm not saying this is easy to live out, but if we really want freedom, a freedom that truly sets people free from shame and guilt, we will hold to this. In love, kindness, patience, we'll do this because this is the love that genuinely frees. You say, well, how do you listen, can you disagree with someone and still love them? Yes. Parents do it all the time. You think when Luke was chucking stuff out the second-story window, I'm like, good job, son. Way to go. I agree with what you're doing. No, you're going to hurt yourself and hurt me in the process. No, I'm not agreeing with any of that. I'm on my knees begging the Lord, please stop me. I don't agree with what he was doing, but I can love him in the moment and come back to him and say, son, what's going on? What's in your heart? How do I help? Let's pray about this. And the greatest example of this is Jesus on the cross. Romans 5:8. You can go there. Romans 5:8 if you want. I'll read it for us or say it for us. It says, God demonstrated his own love for us that while we were still, while, I love that phrase, while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, if love is defined by agreement, then God never would have sent Jesus to die on a cross. Never. If Jesus was waiting around for you to agree with him on what he has to say about sin and love, he would have never come. Because everyone in this room sins and lives in disagreement with Jesus. Every one of us. And yet he still comes, and he still, even while we're disagreeing with him, even while he's disagreeing with us, he still loves us by sacrificing his own life on the cross. That's agape love. That's love from God. Jesus shows us that, yes, it is very possible through the power and presence of the Spirit to disagree with some, to not affirm someone's choices, to not even agree with them if it goes against what God says and who God is, and still love them. And actually loving them may actually be telling them the truth. It actually is loving them by telling them the truth. Because that's freedom. That's freedom for them. They need to hear it. And we need to hear it. I need you to tell me that. Like I said last week, I'm like, man, if I'm thinking about this with Andrea and walking away and all this stuff, and I don't need you to come like affirm me. I need to be like, bro, no, stop. What are you doing? Don't do that. I love you too much, and I love your family too much, and no, I don't need you to affirm it. I need you to, in love, come to me and help me understand the truth, because that's what's freeing. Are you tracking here? I think it's really important, all right? Because love that's from God doesn't insist on its own way, but it insists you follow Jesus and his way, because he and living his way is the better love. And this is hard in a culture that's defining love by agreement and feeling and all these things and affirming. But he goes on, and this is where we'll stop for today. He says, it's not irritable or resentful. Man, are you quick to get irritated? Oh, man, another one, right? Quick to get angry when things don't go your way. Are you the kind of person like everyone in the house has to walk on eggshells around you when things go bad? Because you're like, oh my word, he's going to blow up any minute. His team lost. Get away, right? Or whatever. He can't find the nail clippers. He's going to lose it any time now, right? Whatever. I don't know. Are you that kind of person? Like, you're just, whatever. You're quick to get irritated, and everyone around you has to, like, you're kind of tough to live with. Or are you someone that keeps score in your relationships? See, I've seen this in marriage count, whatever. People keep score. Well, I took out the trash 10 times. She's only done the dishes, like, 3 times. I win. You know, whatever, you know, and all, you keep score. No, that's resentment. You don't keep score. Our love from God doesn't do that. It doesn't keep score. Or you see someone else gets invited to the party or whatever, and you're feeling bad, and you're like, all this stuff. Like, no, a love that's not irritable. Or like, man, I want to be for them, right? But everything natural in you doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, why didn't I get invited to the party? Why are all my friends hanging out and I didn't get to go? Whatever. You know, we sulk around, whatever. Like, nothing. That's the natural sin nature part of me, right? That's why I got to lean on the Spirit to say, help me, Spirit, love that person and be happy for that person. Not keep score. Not make my family or my coworkers walk on eggshells when I'm there at work. And here's the deal as we kind of wrap up this morning. Like, if you read this description, are you feeling overwhelmed? You should be. I am. I'm a patient. Let's just start with the first one. Holy cow. Like, fall on my face before the Lord and say, please help me. Please. This is absolutely overwhelming. You read this, and I think the intent is, I can't do this. There you go. Now we're talking. You can. You can't do this on your own. You can't pull up your bootstraps. I'm going to be the most patient, kind, whatever. You know. No, you can't. It's impossible. That's why it's supernatural. That's why this is a love that comes from God. And this is so beautiful. And go to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I just love this verse from the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul writes. Romans 5, 5. It says this. This is so good. Oh, my word. God is so nice. It says, and hope does not put us to shame. Because what? God's love, this agape love, there it is, has what? Tell me. Been poured into what? Our hearts? How? All right, through the Holy Spirit. So this, what God has done, that moment that you repent of your sin and believe Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, God puts his own spirit inside you. And it says he's poured out. That's not like trickle, 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 love, love, love. No, it's a whole bucket of like God's love, and you're this little cup. It's like he like pours it all in, all of it. Right? And so it's his love inside you through the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. It's like, no, he's like, I know that you can't do this on your own. So I'm going to give you my own spirit, and my spirit who lives inside you is going to be the one that's going to empower you to live this kind of love. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, morning, noon, and night. It's his spirit. It's his love poured into us through his spirit. It's why this is supernatural, right? And if you belong to Jesus, then this is good news. It's good news because you have the spirit of God in you. So the next time everything natural in you wants to be impatient, get irritable, insist on your own way, you pause and say, Spirit, help me. Help me. I need you. I can't do this. Please get on your knees, fall on your face, do what you need. Help me. And confess this, because some of us, let's just call this what it is. It's sin to live any other way than this. And some of us may need to go to some people in our lives. You know what? I've insisted on my way. And it's been my way. And I need to ask you to forgive me. Others of us maybe need to go to some people and say, you know what? Feel like we need to talk about the truth here. And this is what God says about the truth and what it is. We just do. What's the Spirit of God saying to you this morning about this? So as the band comes, that's what I want us to do. I want you to think, what's the Spirit of God saying to you? Would you just kind of bow your head if you would, close your eyes, just ask the Spirit, take a moment, look over that list again. What's the Spirit bringing to the surface of your heart and mind this morning as it relates to this love, this supernatural love from God? What's he saying? Just talk to him. Maybe there's something you need to apologize to God for. Maybe there's something you need to apologize to your family or coworker or neighbor for. Maybe there's one of these characteristics about love you just need to ask God to start filling you with. I don't know. What is it? What's he bringing to the surface of your heart this morning as it relates to this supernatural love poured into you by his Holy Spirit? And as you're thinking about that, church, let me just maybe address someone that's like, man, I don't have that kind of love. Maybe you don't have that kind of love because you don't belong to Jesus. Maybe you've never truly surrendered your heart over to Jesus. And I just want you to know that Jesus offers you this better love. He makes it completely available to you. He's inviting you to just accept him and receive him, believing that what he did on the cross, he did for you, to forgive you of all your sins, to wipe away the shame, the guilt, and to bring you into himself and to give you his better love. And if that's you this morning, then right where you sit, you can just call out to him and say, Jesus, I believe. Give me your better love. I believe you did that for me. But church, what's he saying to you this morning? And then how do you need to respond? I would say most of us in this room, one of the responses, we need to confess to the Lord our sin, that we haven't been loving in these ways to him or to other people. And maybe later today, your response is the Spirit of God is bringing someone specific to your mind right now that you need to get on the phone or you need to go have coffee with and seek forgiveness. I don't know. Maybe you've been filled with pride. You've been believing something that's wrong, that doesn't agree with God and his word. You need to confess that wrong belief to the Lord too. But here's the beautiful part, church. God has poured out his agape love into your heart through his Spirit. That's what's so good, and that's such good news for us. What's he saying? So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand, and as we sing, we'll have some of us off to the sides. If you need to receive prayer this morning, come talk to us. We want to pray over you, pray with you. But what's most important, church, is what happens when you leave this place. That's what's most important. Is when we step out, we have a love that is so good to share. Let's share it. A love that truly frees people. Father, thank you for the deep love that you give us that we are so undeserving of. A deep love, a love that just, it's the love we're looking for. So I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that they've never received that love, they've never accepted your invitation, would they do that right now in this moment? And for those of us that we belong to you, you've put your spirit in us, we confess we can't love this way on our own. So fill us, please, with your spirit. Help us this week to lean heavy, walk in step with the spirit, to be led by your spirit, knowing that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't need to walk out of here discouraged or depressed. We can walk out of here free because your love, that better love, is in us. We love you because you first loved us. Amen. Let's stand together.